you know, as a practical spiritual teacher, I would say, you know, avoid everything that makes you go weak with kinesiology and pursue that which makes you go strong. Because that what makes you go weak with kinesiology has, throughout the ages, through many thousands of years, the Vedas arose maybe 10,000 years ago, and what we consider to be a modern spiritual belief systems or religious belief systems, you know, were ancient 10,000 years ago. Because the experience of the presence of God, which we call the experience of the mystic, has been a recurrence throughout all of history. Relatively rare. The chances are maybe 1 in 10 million, statistically, if we study kinesiology. But spontaneously, it suddenly occurs, and it's been the same throughout all of history. And spiritual reality never changes. Although religions may differ in their belief systems, they're only differing in their belief systems. Any of the basis upon which they differ cannot be proven. Because every religion arises out of the subjectivity of that which is really descriptively the mystic. The self-realized reports the same phenomena over and over. There's only one truth. And therefore, as it is expressed from consciousness itself, it is always the same. So the great avatars, the great enlightened sages of time, always say the same thing, because there is only one reality and there is none other. And it's not possible to stay with truth and describe it other than what it is. So the origins of all the great religions are the same. And so then we went on to study various religions, and you can calibrate the levels of movies, books, writers, TV programs. So everything then represents a greater or a lesser degree of spiritual energy. And the greater the spiritual orientation, the alignment with truth, the higher the calibration. And so we have this calibrated scale of consciousness, which its greatest usefulness is merely to say yes or not yes. So you would say, this spiritual teacher is integrous and useful for my life, and you get a yes or a not yes. Or you might say, it's too soon, maybe I should wait with this one. It'll say yes or not yes. So one can use it for guidance, and spiritual students who are really committed to transcending the ego and reaching the higher spiritual states have found it quite useful. We found that the reason we used 1,000 as the top of the scale is we asked, what is the highest consciousness that has ever existed on the planet? We got 1,000 is the limit of possibility within the human domain, that the human nervous system cannot really handle the energy that calibrates much over 1,000. That the Buddha, Christ, Krishna, all the great avatars calibrated at 1,000. It's not really possible to survive with a, you might say, the voltage is too high for the human nervous system. When you get over 1,000, and even getting to 1,000 can be quite agonizing, that what we call enlightenment occurred at a level that calibrated at 600. When a person goes into 600, they go into the levels of love, first conditional love, then unconditional love. Then many become interested in spiritual pathways and meditation and spiritual techniques, and they begin to pursue them with greater and greater dedication. And as they do, they begin to experience life in a transformative, completely different context. In the high 500s, which are quite amazing, one is overcome by the sheer beauty of everything. The only reality that exists is love. There is only love, and all you see is love, and all you experience is love and beauty. Love and beauty and harmony, and the miraculous begins to happen spontaneously and eventually becomes continuous. A lot of people who have done the Course in Miracles go into that transformative state. You drive into the city and you think of a parking space, and as you get there, there's a parking space right in front of Lincoln Center. In fact, the one and only parking space, just as you pull up, a car pulls out and you pull in. When this first begins to happen, you start to remark about it. After a while, you begin to experience that that's the way life is. It's the continuous miraculous. the miraculous is ongoing and continuous. And everybody becomes stunningly beautiful and handsome, stunningly attractive. One's in love. No, not falls in love. One is in love with everything and everyone all the time. And one can only see the beauty and the perfection of everything. And then the state may reach, in the very high 500s, ecstasy. One can start going into states of indescribable ecstasy, like the opening of a brilliance within one's consciousness. And the ecstasy is continuous. At that point, you can't function in the world anymore. The ecstasy then, Ramakrishna described it, I remember going through it myself, forget functioning in the world. You can dance in it like an expression of exquisite ecstasy at the joy of one's existence. And one cannot function. And then one has to surrender that to God. So each step along the way of the levels of consciousness is surrendering whatever is presenting itself to God. Finally, even the state of ecstasy, one has to surrender the state of ecstasy to God. And then one hits level 600, which is a state of infinite silence, bliss, and a profound peace beyond all understanding. The peace of God is beyond psychological peace or emotional peace. It's a different dimension. And in that state, you don't have to eat, breathe, function. One blisses out outside of time, Sat Chit Ananda, it's called classically. And if things are favorable, the body will eventually get fed, move up and walk around and survive. If the conditions are not favorable to that circumstance, which frankly is irrelevant, then it just topples over eventually. So about 50% of the people who go into a latent state frankly leave. The one awareness that is quite obvious in that state is that you have permission to leave. You can leave right now, in fact. You can just take off the headphones and stop. One has permission. So what's going to keep the body going? Well, you see, there's no needs and no wants. Everything is complete and total. The bliss of the state is that everything is complete. So from that moment on, if the body survives, you don't ever really need anything anymore. People say, what do you want? Well, I don't want anything. What do you need? Well, I don't need anything. Certain things would be nice, but you don't need them. And so one is then independent of the world. What the world says or does is really quite irrelevant. At that point, it was impossible to function. I remember in that state. So what happens if you survive is most people leave the world, which is, yes, what I did. So you pack up everything and throw all your tools in the back of your old truck, and you say goodbye and you leave, which is what I did. So I left the biggest practice in the country and a very elite lifestyle, etc., and drove to a small town. You know, in the refrigerator, there'd be a banana, two Pepsis, and a piece of cheese, and that was fine. I mean, what more do you need? People come in and say, you don't have any food in here. You think, what are they talking about? There's no food in here. Because you don't need anything. So you get a cot in the dime store, and you get a box to put a candle on, and you got an apple and a piece of cheese, and you're all set.
Dr. Hawkins has just provided you with a greater understanding of the map of consciousness and the calibration process in this session. He paints a fascinating and vivid picture of the emotional and spiritual climate that exists at every step of the energy evolution process. As you proceed on your daily activities, you may wish to begin witnessing the various choices that you and the world around you make on a constant, often unconscious basis. What might their calibration level be on the map of consciousness? Subsequently, you may wish to begin experimenting with the kinesiological testing. You will find a detailed description of this process on the print component included in the program. As you gain a greater understanding of this powerful process, you can begin to use it as part of your regular routine. When flipping through a potential new book, for instance, you may wish to test whether it would be a beneficial addition to your current library. You may wish to test the shows that you watch on television, or a myriad of other areas that you would like to further explore. As you practice this technique, you will gain a greater sense of the power conductors that feed you in your life, and learn to leave any power drainers behind.